Directors Podcast, a show about movies, fun, and competition, where our hosts draft movie-related items and make fun of each other along the way. Now for our hosts, Caleb, Quantas, and Roman.
Film Drafters back, and October starts this week. That is crazy. Maybe you're living in a place where temperature's dropping, it's starting to feel like fall. Maybe you got your pumpkin spice lattes, you're drinking them all up. In Phoenix, it doesn't necessarily feel very cool, but it's cool-ish for us. Like, we got like a solid like 80 degree day the other day, like 88 degrees. And I was like, man, like, what have we done to deserve this? But with the new temperature, all these other things, we want to be able to celebrate movies and celebrate horror movies. Last year, we drafted best horror movies of all time, and we wanted to expand that and turn it into a tournament. So this week, we're going to be drafting 20th century horror movies. Next week, we'll be drafting 21st century movies. And then the next 2 weeks after that, they'll be going in a tournament head-to-head, and we'll be voting best two out of three, moving on to the next round, and we will crown the victor of horror movies. Are you guys excited about that?
I'm excited to get my scary on.
Get that scary on.
Yeah, it's the best season, spooky season. I'm ready.
Spooky. Yeah. And then the week before, or leading up to Halloween, we'll draft houses that we trick-or-treat at. So the tournament will end right before Halloween, and then Halloween week, we're going to celebrate trick-or-treating because, you know, that's what it's all about. But the way that it'll work today is we'll draft like normal, and then those will get seeded into the tournament bracket, and we'll actually all throw in an honorable mention as well, just to get us up to like 32, to make the bracket actually make sense. Cool. You guys excited? You guys ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Well, if you guys are joining us for the first time at home, welcome. Thank you guys for joining us. Go ahead and hit that like or subscribe button, or head over to Facebook or Instagram or Twitter to check out what we're posting there. And we would love to connect with you. And just tell us why we're wrong. We understand that we're wrong basically every week. So just tell us why. But we want to connect with you. Maybe sometime in the future, we'll have some like guests on to just yell at us. Like a segment where we're just yelled at, that'd be fun. But we want to connect with you so much that we want to give you free movie tickets. So in this horror movie tournament, if you guess the decade, not even the movie itself, just the decade that the movie that the winner is from, we will send you some movie tickets. We will draw from a pool and send you some tickets just in time for Wakanda Forever or Avatar 2. You can decide.
Oh, yeah. I'm ready.
All right. Well, I have the first pick today, so let's draft.
Time to draft.
So we were joking before recording. I was saying like, ooh, I wonder what my first pick would be. Because I think I actually had the first pick the last time we did this. And this is my go-to movie when it comes to a lot of things. Horror and sci-fi and creature stuff. And also just like it's one of the best movies ever made. So I'm going to draft Alien. I think Alien is my favorite horror movie of all time. I'm not sure if it's the best horror movie of all time, but I think it just does a great job of blending genres and showing us something new. And I think Ridley Scott just had lots of foresight in like how much of a phenomenon I think this movie was going to be. And of course you have Aliens to come after it. Still a great movie with James Cameron, just not up to the level of greatness and doesn't have as much horror tendencies as the first Alien does. So I'm going to draft Alien as the number one movie of the 20th century.
What haven't we said about Alien? When haven't we said Alien? When haven't we drafted Alien? It's just a movie that checks every single box. It's probably my one of one horror movie ever as well. I mean, The Thing is also right alongside it, which of course one of us is going to be drafting that very shortly. Ooh. But
tip Quantas
spoiler off. But no, it's it's just Alien, man. It's everything about it is so successful, and I don't think I can't tell you the last time I watched it, but I think I should just make it a staple of October. Like, just pick one day every year, like October 13th or something. Just watch Alien.
Yeah, I wonder if there's like a date mentioned in the movie, and that's the date you're supposed to watch it.
Alien Day.
Yeah, I knew it was coming. We all knew it was coming. Alien was getting drafted by somebody. Definitely, probably Caleb, because that's just like, like you said, it's his go-to. But it is like, you can't say enough about it. We talk about it all the time for a reason, because it is just this great, fantastic movie. And it's this great horror movie that just kind of throws you into this feeling of being trapped in this tight space with like this giant creature that you've like never seen before if you're watching Alien for like the first time, which you're probably not. But yeah, and something interesting about the movie that was pointed out to me, we don't even like really have a hero for like the first hour of this movie. Like, people are getting killed off, and like there's not really any development or hints towards like, oh, Ellen's gonna like save the day. But like when she does, it becomes like this grandiose moment. And like, that's kind of a lightning in the bottle moment they were able to do with that character in that movie to make her like the hero, and like not really give her a whole lot of development up until she has to just like stand up and be like, all right, I'll deal with it.
Right. And she has like far more development in Aliens, which is something maybe that movie does a little bit better, but that's just, it's not really what Alien is about. It is about the tightness, the atmosphere, the momentum of the movie. It's just so great. And I'm sure we'll talk about it for a long time in the next couple weeks, so we don't have to keep talking about it. So Quantiz, on to you.
All right, man, so many good ones. We mentioned The Thing, but I feel like I got to go with another John Carpenter one. That's, I feel like it's going to evade me if I don't pick it. And of course, we're in the season of Halloween, so it has to be Halloween. What hasn't been said about it? That score, man, that perfect score, the shape as he's known in the script. Like, I still think that's amazing. They were like calling Michael Myers the shape, and they got away with that because, like, he is the shape, and he fits into like every private space that you could ever encompass in your home and like area in your neighborhood. So, like, yeah, he's just like this creature, this Terminator that's like unstoppable, and like he can be anywhere at any time and like looking over your shoulder. That's like the scariest thing about him. It's like once he's close to you, like there's nothing you can do really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah, Terminator, I think, borrowed a lot from Halloween, and they kind of just made it sci-fi and they over-explained it a little bit. I mean, Terminator's awesome, but like Michael Myers, there's so much mystery to it. Like, is this just a guy? Is there more to this? And I don't delve into all of the Michael Myers lore. I think I've seen Halloween 1, 2, and then the newer ones that came out these last couple years, but like I'm sure they probably delve into some supernatural stuff, but he's just like pure evil incarnate as a man.
Yeah, I don't think I would ever write anything as clever as the shape into one of my screenplays. And that's just kind of the whole ingenious part of Halloween and John Carpenter, just doing the most with so little, and something as not very descriptive as the shape ends up being this very ominous sort of foreboding thing. I just, you know, it'd be really nice to get a home in Haddonfield, because, you know, renters, you know, your monthly payment probably went down like a pretty good amount of money. Your yeah. mortgage definitely dipped too. So
that would be very helpful. And these like inflationary days, like let's get some Michael Myers out there bringing some property values down.
Yeah. Maybe not necessarily get to the extent of murdering people, but
yeah, just scare
people enough to get us a home that is reasonable value.
Actually, you can, I mean, that's so attainable. We just need the Michael Myers mask, hire a bunch of people just to like, to hide behind some shrubs, and then it's like your property value is just going to go way down. And finally, some Generation Z people are going to be able to afford a house the first time in 10 years.
And they'll be like, yes, Michael Myers, yes.
All right. Well, Roman, you get two in a row.
Two in a row.
This is where you feast.
This is where I feast with The Thing. I also have the snake, so it slithers back to me. But The Thing, I mean, we know, right? Like, we know that this might be the best movie ever made. Probably not, but it's very, very extraordinarily good. And everything about John Carpenter and what he accomplished in Halloween, he kind of takes to the 10th degree, negative 10th degree, in The Thing. And oh. I think even he said that making The Thing was the most fun he's ever had making a movie. And I think that is very reflective in the execution. Every part of that movie is kind of perfect. So yeah, The Thing, I mean, come on.
Can't go wrong. I think what all three of these movies have in common so far is that they don't over-explain things. Like, there's pieces that you can put together, but it's just so terrifying, like the unknown of like, why is this happening to us? And yeah, the claustrophobic nature, especially in The Thing, and already being like in Antarctica, like, why would you want to be there in the first place? Like, that to me is the scariest thing. Anything below 30 degrees is terrifying. And so you add like this alien monster into that, and some of the most creative, just like monster designs of all time. It's really great.
Yeah, John Carpenter just operates so well with like the simplicity in his horror movies. Like, I talked about how Michael Myers is called The Shape, and this movie is literally just called The Thing. And like, it's just so good that there's like this uncertainty and this whodunit element into this movie. That's also like, you have this thing going around, definitely like causing problems and killing people, but it's also can take change forms and take over people, and you're not sure who could be what. So yeah, to have that element present within the film, like at all times, just creates such a great tense narrative that's just going to keep literally you on your toes throughout and on the edge of your seat throughout the entire runtime. It's probably one of the best horror movies ever.
Yeah, for sure. And there's subtext to that too, that you can interpret in different ways and apply to different situations that are going on in the world. So it's just kind of brilliant the way that it's laid out. All right, well, what's your second pick?
Second pick. I know there are some other ones that will be drafted. What I like to consider, and this is the last time we did a pretty big tournament, is I wanted to make sure certain movies got into the draft. I know this one will make it. I just want to make sure it's one of the top ones. Psycho. I mean, it's the godfather of horror movies, maybe, or horror how we understand it. Like Frankenstein and Dracula and Creature from the Black Lagoon are the forefathers of horror, right? But Psycho, the way that we understand humor now, or not humor, excuse me, horror now, is a very different movie. But yeah, the way that we understand horror now is because of this movie. It changed the game as far as the villain. It changed the game as far as the final girl. I mean, there's so many different, like, pull the rug out from underneath you moments where, yeah, is it a little 1960s of them to explain why he does what he does? Yeah. But I think it just adds so much to the movie and the experience. And that look on his face at the end is undeniably one of the greatest things ever composed and performed by anybody. In my opinion, it's a perfect movie. And yeah, it could be my 101 in any other day except for today.
Yeah. It's true. There's like so many, there's like two at least big kind of twists that you don't see coming. So I don't even want to ruin it for people who haven't seen it. Like, you just need to go see Psycho. It's not Alfred Hitchcock's best to me, but like, as far as horror movie goes, I think it's probably his best horror movie, or at least the most important horror movie that he directed. And I mean, just that the sound of the strings in the score, like just one note is terrifying. And especially taking a shower, like you're always kind of like looking over the edge of your shoulder. You're like, is there somebody there? So there's so many things that it just implants in your brain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Psycho just really set the standard for like horror movies could achieve. It really is a benchmark even to this day, because like, I think like back then that was like the peak nudity, like that shower scene of what you could see in like cinema. It was like hers like screaming and before she gets murdered. So like, that's crazy. And it also does like a real cool thing where it's like a character study and like has, like you said, these twist reveals and pull the rug out from under you moments that you weren't expecting. And like, never like 100% straight up about what it is. It's like the very end. And that's what makes it like so cool that it was like one of the first horror movies to like really do that in an effective way to like mass audiences at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I kind of forgot what I was going to say now, so I'm just going to listen to you.
I have a tendency to do that. But my first exposure to Psycho was actually Looney Tunes Back in Action. There's a scene where I think Brendan Fraser opens up the shower curtains and Bugs is in there taking a shower, and he's got the chocolate milk and he pours it and it looks like blood and it's in black and white. It's so crazy how that movie is kind of just everywhere. Mm. Everywhere you look, it's in everything.
Right.
So
yeah. What can't Brendan Fraser do, basically?
Can't lose. That's what he can't do.
All right. Quantiz, what is your second pick?
Oh, goody. I'm surprised this came back to me. Okay, so we're going to go with a movie that I also want to make sure gets in the very top. And that's going to be Suspiria.
Mm.
Yeah, it's just like, man, it's so hard to explain because it is just, it's like a one of a kind type of movie. It's just like you're literally just thrown into this nightmare type visual with like these sweeping camera movements and like these giant bright neon colors like all the time, kind of being like lighting up the entire room, the entire frame of the movie at times. So yeah, and just like these gruesome visceral moments that happen throughout the movie while all this is happening to kind of make you kind of question like what I'm seeing even real, like it's a fantasy, is like raises so many questions, but it's just, it's so engaging all the way through. Like, so yeah, Suspiria.
Yeah. I love how like the 60s and 70s really pushed the boundaries of what you could do in a horror movie and kind of brought horror movies into the present where it wasn't just like a monster of a week. And just like you're in a castle and those things are great, but like to bring horror down to like a psychological level, I think is what Suspiria does. Cause it's not just like the story that is important, but it's also just the visuals. Like the director is toying with you. Like it kind of makes you feel like a character, like you feel like a victim because like you're being assaulted by visuals and lights and angles and all those things.
Yeah. That movie is incredible. It's just a stained glass window of just horror. Just there's so many different lights and so many different things that it's doing and images that it's painting. I love the sequence where it's just super quiet. The dude standing just in this giant like plaza area and all there is like a dog barking in the distance and it's just really quiet. There's just something, nothing happens. Nothing like super substantial happens, but you just feel the dread and the terror and the horror. And, it kind of just maintains that through the runtime. I'll never forget the first shot of that movie is sliding doors opening. And then like he cuts to like the little gears of the sliding doors that like open and close. And it, I was like, I've never seen that. There's something that is so like obstructive about that into my viewing experience that it makes me kind of uncomfortable. And it's just one of those masterpieces of a movie that I'm glad it's on here. Cause I actually almost would have forgot about it for some reason. I don't know why, but yeah, Suspiria rocks. Cool. So does the sequel.
Good call. Yeah. All right. Well, let's bring it back to me. I got two in a row. So we talked about 70s. We got 80s. We've got 60s on here. So I think it's time for something from the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot to choose from. And I feel like we've talked about it recently, but I guess I'm just going to draft Silence of the Lambs because it's just like a really, really good movie. And some people at home might just say like, oh, it's a thriller or like, oh, it's a detective movie. But like, I think there's enough in the movie to kind of push it over the edge of being a horror movie. Like there are certain movies that I'm thinking of in the 90s as well that kind of play that line of like, it's horror, but it's based in real life and there's nothing supernatural about it, but it's still horror because it's terrifying and it could happen to you, which is like the scariest thing.
Yeah, that's I rewatched it recently too. It's actually still sitting on one of my shelves here just out in the open, that scary poster that we recently talked about. But yeah, it is a horror movie. It is undeniably a horror movie because of what it's about and how contemporary it is and how expansive its themes are about just a myriad of different things. And plus it has one of the greatest, it's not even a scare, but one of the greatest like horror movie moments ever with Hannibal Lecter in the face. I mean, come on. Like when he's in the ambulance and you realize what's finally happening, it's like, holy cow, Jonathan Demme, you genius. But yeah, Silence of the Lambs, I would qualify it as a horror movie just because there's something about it that is just so, just kind of transcends time. Doesn't feel like it's from the 90s, could have been made yesterday. It's still pretty creepy.
Yeah, Silence of the Lambs is like one of those most unnerving films you could ever watch. And it is like very much based in real life, but it is a horror movie too, because like it takes real life people, but it paints us that like it puts our most scary aspects in front of the camera, I feel like, as far as like making us question ourselves and what we would even do in these situations, either through the direction and also just the characters as they are, Hannibal Lecter being a literal cannibal. You have like all these other characters whose names are escaping me at this very moment. But yeah, like literally like the majority of that cast is like, I would not want to encounter any of these people. It could happen to you, but you hope it does.
Yeah. All right. So I got Alien, Silence of the Lambs. And then my third pick, I think I'm going to go back to, I'm going to go back to the 70s, do a classic horror. Although when I say classic, I think more of like the black and white, like 40s and 50s, like 30s, 40s and 50s. And so it's maybe not classic, but like modern classic. I don't know. I guess it's just classic. You get older and things just become classic. But I'm going to go with The Exorcist. The Exorcist is another movie-going experience where you read about it all the time. Where like there were people throwing up, there were people passing out because they couldn't take the visuals of this movie. And if you're watching it, I think there's a difference. There's like a theatrical cut and there's a director's cut. And one of them, I think it's the director's cut, that actually has the famous scene of her going backwards down the stairs, like on her hands, which I don't think was actually in the theatrical cut, but yet it's such a famous thing. So you can just tell that this movie was so rewatchable that people saw like stuff that they didn't get to see in the theater. And yet that became iconic. And just like Psycho, like you see things in The Exorcist pop up in other things. And it crosses so many lines that like you're not expecting it to. And you're like, can a movie do this? And then it just does. And it terrifies you and it just brings you into like just this darkness.
Yeah, it's really overwhelming. It's one of those, it's something that a lot of like the modern horror movies have done, like Lighthouse and Hereditary, really well, where they kind of just feel overwhelming. And I think a lot of that comes from The Exorcist, where right from the beginning, there's just, I forget exactly what country they're in, but there's just creepy music and cutting to like different statues and faces in the desert. And there's something that's just so overwhelming about that experience. So to bring that into a home just makes it like really hard to watch. And then it's also too, like it's a faith film. It's a religious film in a sense too. And I think that William Friedkin does such a good job of making it like an overwhelming horror experience that you could take away so much from that most movies can't even do if they were really trying, and he just does it so seamlessly.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, you see people, like, ask now, like, oh, is The Exorcist, like, even scary by, like, modern standards? But, it's, like, I would say it definitely is, just by the sense that you can't really walk away from The Exorcist without it being, like, a transformative experience for you, without having, like, something to take away from that, like, watching it full, because it does so many things well. It's just such a well-made film in and of itself. We talk about that shot that's on the poster of him just like under the street lamp going into that, getting off the bus or whatever it was. But yeah, like you have this evil that's embodied so demonically and so and physically embodied so well by the, I don't know the actress, but yeah, to do that, it just leaves a lasting impression on you. Like I said, man, so many great moments in that movie and so many moments that you see spoofed throughout so many other things. So yeah, it's definitely made its impact and it's going to be probably spoof forever, even paid homage to. Maybe we'll never get another movie like it.
Maybe. I think it also, it was like the first horror movie that I remember seeing where I knew that like horror movies can also just be like really well-made movies and like have like really good photography. Because like the shot that you're talking about where he's just like standing, where the exorcist gives off the bus or whatever, and he's standing in front of the house and the light shining on him. Like it was one of those moments just as a teenager where it's like, wow, this like horror movie doesn't have to be like all schlocky and all these other things. Like it could be really well written and good.
Yeah. It's a masterpiece. It's very, very good. So Q, I believe you have the next pick.
Next pick.
Oh man, all the good ones are coming back to me, but that's because there's just so many great horror movies, really. So this is when I'm surprised they didn't get taken first round, but I'm going to go with The Shining because, I mean, what hasn't been said about it? It's so great. Kubrick does his own thing because this movie is not like the book. You can ask people who like the book, they will tell you without you even asking. But yeah, it's just, it's such a magnificent movie because it doesn't really tell you anything. It lets you spiral into like this kind of nightmarish hellscape because it raises so many questions that it doesn't really answer. You know, you have the Shining that Danny has, you have Scatman Crothers also telling him that he has the Shining, so it's like what's going on here? It's like, what is the Shining exactly? Like, does it affect Jack? Like, yeah, there's so many things. And you also have Jack losing his mind the entire time, going ape shit on his family, so slinging axes through doors. So yeah, it's probably one of the most claustrophobic movies you can get, even though they're in like this giant hotel. There's nobody in it. And apparently, spoiler alert, he's always been there. So that adds another layer.
Yeah, it's, I think I mention this every time we talk about The Shining. So sorry if I'm repeating the fact that I've seen it. Seeing it in a theater is like unlike anything I've ever experienced. It's especially in like a packed house. It's just kind of one of those things where you can just feel that everyone is just on the same page. I mean, it is just a perfect movie front to back. And it's like, yeah, why didn't we draft it in the first round? And it's like, I wanted to, but I was like, man, I just really like having Psycho part of my draft just because I'm such a massive fan. But yeah, The Shining is what hasn't been said about it. It's a maze. It's terrifying. Jack Nicholson is a legend. Shelley Duvall, a legend. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, I knew it was going to be drafted. So I didn't draft it. It's actually third on my list. It goes Alien, Psycho, The Shining. But I think I want to kind of well represent all these other decades here. But yeah, I mean, The Shining, like you said, I am one of those people who really, really love the book. And if I actually had to like choose like which version I like better, I might like the book better. But like what Stanley Kubrick does with the movie is just something so visceral and strange. I mean, even just that last shot is haunting, and like you don't even know what it means. Like more than half the movie, you don't know what's happening and you don't know why it's happening. That's what makes it scary.
Yeah, the ending is just hey, look at this really happy guy. He's just owning this hotel and he's a happy boy. So
yeah, but all right, well, Roman, you get two in a row.
I feel like I got a draft Scream here just because, again, we need more decade representation, of course, because we got to make sure that our viewers have the chance to pick the right decade. And Scream has to be a part of this list. It's hard to equate what Scream is in other genres, like something in another genre, like a Western or a superhero movie, because what Scream does is it is fundamentally and quintessentially a horror movie to every single degree and level that a horror movie is. But it does it in such a way that is so like, it's making fun of it, but not in like a derogatory sense. And it's like a passion for it. It's so interesting what Wes Craven does. And I think that it's something that only one other director has really mastered, which may be drafted. It might be in the margins. But yeah, it's Scream, man. It's just so good. It's so good.
Yep, that's also high on my list. So I'm glad that we drafted it. I think, yeah, it takes a lot of aspects of a lot of the movies we've already talked about, especially the slasher genre, and then it just perfects it in this awesome way. And I think too, when people think about classic horror movies and they say that those are the best, like those are all really good, but sometimes some of the newer movies, and first Scream was like 30 years ago, but like it takes what was good and it kind of like twists it, perfects it in new ways. And there's so many things that you're not expecting. And I feel like there's so many different twists in Scream that I can watch them again every single year and kind of forget some of the aspects and always be surprised by something.
Yeah. Has the best musical cue of all time when he's standing there and he's watching Halloween and does the Halloween little cue. And he's perfect. 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 Perfect.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah, I was like doing the Birdman hand rub in my head. I was like, if they don't pick Scream, I'm just gonna like run away with this thing. There's no way I'm losing. But like, it's so hard to like explain what Scream is. It really, you just really had to be there. Like, how do you explain Scream in a post scary movie world? Like,
yeah,
it's already been spoofed like literally five times. Like, the spoof has been spoofed. Like, what do you even talk about now? Because it is just so clever and it's so like, it is a love letter. It's not doing it in a derogatory way. Like you said, it's obviously like the person loves horror, the person loves the horror tropes, the cliches that it all falls into. And it turns them on its head, but it's also like, hey, we know what we're doing. And we also love that thing just like you do. But we're also got some surprises for you. So yeah, Scream is always going to be just like this lightning in a bottle time capsule horror movie moment that probably can never be replicated again for like another 40, 50 years when horror gets a little too tropey again.
Right. Well, even the Scream movies, they keep coming out because of how successful that first one is. And like a majority of the sequels, like other than Scream 3, which I still think is okay, like all of them are pretty good. Like you could still have a really good time watching any of the sequels, which you can't say on pretty much any of the sequels of all the other ones that we talked about.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Roman, what's your last pick?
I feel like if this isn't in the tournament, this is like a sin. Like we should be banned. And I'm looking at a couple other movies and I'm like, God, we need it. But then it's just like, I can't forget this one. And That's George Romero's Night of the Living Dead. It's how we talk about The Exorcist as well, where, you know, it came out just 5 years after. Yeah, 5 years after. And it's just one of those things where it's a merger of not only ushering in zombies and zombies getting overused forever and ever since, but just what it's about in the social text. And a leading black man at that time is, especially in a horror movie, is like unheard of, and he lives. And it's like, you know, one of those things that it's like, that isn't happening at that time. So what it's doing for horror, not only in just terms of like the threat, you know, the zombies, but what it's saying and what it's how it's using that to commentate on a certain social text is really, really inspiring. And it's just one of the best horror movies. Probably one of the best movies of all time. Has one of the best like zombie reveals of all time. They're at the graveyard and they're just like, oh, look, there's a guy out there. It's getting ready to storm. And then they walk by him and it turns out to be a zombie. Yeah, it's so good. And I honestly can't wait for the 4K that's coming out from Criterion soon. I've been waiting to buy it for that reason. So I'm pretty jazzed up to finally get my eyes back on Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah, it's good when you got to throw a zombie movie in there. And if you're going to pick one, that's the one.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely hit Night of the Living Dead. I had it on my list. It's just one of those movies. It is. I talk about how people talk about like maybe The Exorcist isn't that scary anymore. Night of the Living Dead kind of gets that same conversation just because zombies are like so ingrained in pop culture now that you see like maybe like one of the first big representations of zombies and they're like, oh, they're moving slow and they're not eating brains and they're not really, you know, doing a whole lot besides like lumbering slowly at people. So, yeah, they may be not that scary, but it is. Night of the Living Dead just tells an excellent story. It really does. A great survival story, a great story about, like, the subtext of America at that time. It embodies a great piece of film history.
That is true.
So,
all right, Quantas, you have your last pick.
My last pick. We're going to go with a personal favorite. I talk about it a lot. I'm going to talk about it again. Talk about Child's Play, because what's scarier than your doll coming to life and being a serial killer and trying to murder you and take over your body, and you're also like an 8-year-old that literally nobody is going to believe. So yeah, that was like one of my favorite horror movies ever. It's just so great. The execution of it is perfection. You have Charles Lee Ray, engaging antagonist / protagonist, because he obviously becomes like a protagonist later down the line, but you know, in the first Child's Play, he's definitely the villain. First couple, at least. No, Child's Play gets my vote.
You really love those Chucky movies. You keep bringing them up.
You keep bringing up like 3 episodes in a row. Draft the best movies of all time. Child's Cult Play.
Classic, man.
Cult classic. Yeah. I mean, I'm still sort of, you know, pretty vague. I don't know too much about like the Child's Play universe. A little disappointed you didn't go a certain direction, but I feel like if you don't have Chucky representation, it's like, is this even really a proper tournament? So yeah, Child's Play deserves to be in the conversation.
Yeah, well, it's there. Child's Play on the list. All right, well, it's sad because there's like 3 that I feel like deserve to be,
like 15 more.
Yeah, and I'm looking at this and my daughter's really sad because I can't decide. But we do get some honorable mentions, so keep that in mind. But I'm going to go ahead and go with the grimiest movie I've ever seen, with the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yes.
Such a great movie.
Crazy. I feel like
it deserves to be in the tournament. And I'm sure there's other things that I'll honorably mention, make sure I get in there. But Texas Chainsaw Massacre, man, it's just like, it is a ride. Like, you feel like you went on that adventure. Like, you could touch the screen and like you feel dirty. Like, you need to take a shower after that movie.
Yeah, it's like one of those like home horror video things that everyone is, you know, overused to describe it now, but they'd be correct. It feels like you're watching something that has just been unearthed that you're not supposed to be. It has some of the most like impossible shots I've ever seen, like under the little swing that's connected to the trees and the house opens up, and the ending is undeniable. Watched that for the first time a couple of years ago and you kind of just don't stop thinking about it. I didn't think it was like a masterpiece, but like I feel like it's a masterpiece. So I don't know. Maybe it is. Great movie. And it has to be in the tournament.
Yeah, it definitely has to be. And I'm kicking myself because I didn't even have it on my list. I completely missed the mark on Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I apologize to you. you magnificent.
There's a job opening on the Film Drafters if you guys at home want to apply for it.
I'm being kicked off as of this episode. Whoever takes my spot in the next four tournament has to pick some good picks, because I got a lot of great ones lined up for that one.
Perfect. I mean, guys, let's just get into it. Nightmare on Elm Street. You're gone. Jaws.
Well, I mean, yeah, we can throw out honorable mentions. So we get one each, I believe, just to get up to 32, since this week is a little bit different than normal. So what one that we didn't mention, like, we feel like needs to be in there? We can get three total for this episode.
Three total? Mine is going to be Evil Dead 2.
Evil Dead 2.
That I'm only choosing that because it is basically a remake of the first one,
right?
But even better. And that's the one I was referring to.
The first one. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the one I was referring to. The only other horror movie I could think of that's even close to what Scream is and just what it means for the horror genre is Evil Dead 2. So,
yeah. Yeah. And you mentioned it, but I'll go ahead and throw in Nightmare on Elm Street 2. I feel like that could be a dark horse that could go far because it's still effective, still scary. And it's still Wes Craven doing something really creative and really fun. So, Quantes, you get the last honorable mention. This is the last spot for the 20th century in our horror movie tournament.
All right. Well, you took Evil Dead, so I'm swapped down to two, and I have to choose the more popular of those two. I'm going with Carrie. Brian De Palma. Great movie.
Classic. Yeah, that's a good one. There you go. Yeah. So, Carrie in there. Sad to see that Blair Witch Project and The Fly won't be in here, but those are the only other ones on my list. But those are great movies. So watch those also. But I'm looking forward to drafting 21st century because I feel like there's been some amazing horror movies in the last 22 years and even the last 10 years. So I'm looking forward to that. Make sure to vote at home, and we'll see you guys next time.
See ya. Scary.
Happy spooky season.